The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Greetings, people of the internet. My name is Big Mo, and it is my honor to welcome you to the hardest hitting, full of ranting, most entertaining show in the world. This is the Dave Van Auken Show!
Hey guys, this podcast is presented by the MMA Shark. Check out the MMAshark.com today. Paul is up 350 units to date. One thing I like about Paul so much here at the MMA Shark, he doesn't just handicap UFC pay-per-views. I'm talking about UFC fight nights. I'm talking about a lot of content on UFC Fight Pass like the LFA, and also one of my favorites, Dana White Contender Series. My guy Paul at the MMA Shark is trustworthy and the one you need to be in touch with. Go to the MMA Shark. .com right now and use that promo code BANANAS for $50 off your first 30 days. Promo code BANANAS50. Head to the MMAshark.com today. What's up, guys? Dave Van Auken here, the Dave Van Auken Show, Monday, September 19th. What a weekend. What a savage weekend. Let's go. Man, guys, if you haven't heard it, I talked to Jillian, our, you know, Fight Bananas family, Jillian the Savage Robertson. We did an IG live right after, literally an hour after her fight, after her win, after her submission win, after her savagery rear naked choke win. So if you haven't heard it, go get it. It's on my personal IG at Dave Van Auken, at David Van Auken. Real quick shout out Maddie Levine. Maddie Levine took over the Fight Bananas Instagram. She absolutely killed it. I loved her content. I know I'm hearing it from you guys as well. Hopefully, we will see Maddie really back soon, doing something. You know, that's the mixed martial arts game. That's the fight business. You really never know what's going to happen next and who you're going to do it with. But yes, we want some more Maddie Levine underneath the Fight Bananas banner. That's for sure. Guys, right? How about hats off Canelo, hats off Corey Sandhagen, hats off to the RoboCop, Jillian the Savage Robertson. A lot of get to UFC Vegas 70 recap, 60 recap for sure. Also, guys, the anchor of this podcast, we're going to talk to our girl Michelle Montague, 1-0 lightweight, going into featherweight. Guys, she fights on Jorge Masvidal's Icon FC live on UFC Fight Pass. That's October 14th. She's down there at American Top Team, just a stud of a fighter, but not even that. I think a better person. She's so funny. She's a good, good dude, good person. Love us some Michelle on this pod. She's really great friends and training partners with our girl Kayla Harrison. So we get into it. It's 22 minutes. It's funny. It's great. That's the anchor of the pod. Also, after today, today is pod 134. After today, I'm not going to lie to you, ready? I am taking a break, a much-needed break. We'll be doing a lot of stuff, of course, on our socials daily and often. We'll be doing some stuff behind the scenes like always. But podcast-wise, I'm going to take a break. There's no UFC this weekend. I know there's the Contender, and I know there's Bellator, and I know there's always stuff, right? You never know. News might break, right? You know, Conor McGregor, Ferguson in January. I don't know. John Jones versus Stipe, December. Shit might break. I'm going to take a much-needed break. I think we're going to take a break off the Banana the Bee this week. Maybe probably even Mike Cuddles, Ben and Bananas, and Dave Van Auken is going to take a break, much needed break. I'm going to go on a little trip with my lovely wife. I'm taking a little Fight Bananas podcast sabbatical. There you go. All right, enough about me. Let's get into it. UFC Vegas 70. Like, I'm not going to break down the whole card. Everything that I saw was a phenomenal card. Huge finishes. How about, emotional Damon Jackson. Hats off to him. Andre Feely. Just a great show. Really, really good show. But start with the top. Corey Sandhagen won after the fourth round TKO. Doctor stoppage against Yandong Song. What a performance. What a performance. I know the scorecards were really close. And it was a really close fight. But the momentum of everything in that fight, to me, was going in Corey Sandhagen's favor. He's so damn smooth, so damn technical, great footwork. I love us some Corey Sandhagen. What's next, right? He won the main event. His face was on the poster. That can only mean a couple things. Another main event, another fight night main event, or a really, really big, pivotal, marquee matchup on a pay-per-view. And they can go a couple different ways. I threw out a couple things, and I know the obvious answers were Chito, Vera, and Merab right afterwards, and that might happen. Or shit, they might do Chito versus Merab. I do want to, let me throw this out there. I don't think Corey was that banged up. I know he said December. Guys, there is a mega event 20 days away, UFC 280 in Abu Dhabi and Fight Island. And guys, all I know is there's not one, but there's two humongous bantamweight fights. And I would love to see Corey versus TJ, Corey versus Aljo in that main event. I would love to see Corey versus Jan too. Or how about Corey Sandhagen versus Sugar Sean O'Malley? So a lot of big stuff. I would love to see Corey Sandhagen just fly over to Abu Dhabi, make $30,000 as a backup, and you never, ever know in this business. So to me, I think Corey should be the backup fighter at UFC 280. RoboCop Gregory Rodriguez, one of the best performances we have ever seen. He had literally one eyebrow. If you know what I mean, you know what I mean. We made multiple posts about it on Fight Finesse Official. Big, big win for him. Big win in the main event. There's only big fights ahead. He's on a streak. Just his aura and his mojo and his momentum. There is his next fight, his pronouns. Gregory Rodriguez's next fight is a big fight. A big fight. He just won the co-main event in a big, major way. You only go up from that. Hey, I can't wait to see what's next for RoboCop. I can't wait. How about this? Let me throw this out there right now. We're going to post it on Matchmaking Monday. How about RoboCop versus Christopher Curtis in a nice little pay-per-view opener at one of these UFCs coming up? There we go. And then let's talk about it, guys. Jillian the Savage Robertson. There's so much history with the Savage and myself. We've talked about it. She's been on the Dave Van Auken show multiple times, and she wanted to build on her presence on Just Talking and the media side of it. So we created My Cuddles. It's her podcast underneath our banner. We absolutely love it. We appreciate you guys if you download and subscribe to My Cuddles. It's on its own platform, you know, its own subscription-based platform. And she felt so damn good into this fight. I've talked to her on air, off air. She loved the matchup. She loved the spot. She knew she was going to get Agapapova's neck sooner or later. She had that utter belief in her. The team was incredible behind her. She really liked the momentum and the positivity and the mojo that the GOAT shed is bringing her. Guys, I joke about it, but I don't understand. And some things I get in the MMA game. I get why Nate Diaz is a huge star. I get why Conor McGregor is a huge star. Sugar Sean O'Malley. Jillian the Savage Robertson has the UFC female flyweight record for most finishes. And us as a MMA community, we like that more than anything. We always say, you know, oh, wow, Makhachev or even Khabib for a long time had that boring, hashtag to him. And a lot of fighters get that sometimes. Izzy is starting to get that now. He's a champ and he's just starting to kind of play it safe a little bit. Jillian does not play it safe ever, ever. The most finishes in female flyweight history. And let me just tell you this. A birdie told me that that record might be put on ice for a little bit. Because something that's been talked about for a while for Jillian's career moving forward. We believe Jillian Robertson's next fight will be a strawweight fight. There you go. You know, put that on post. Artwork, graphic designer, Savage Strawweight coming soon. Put that on a post. All right, guys, that's UFC 60. Also, quick shout out to my guy, the cornerman, Ryan Quinn. He has some great content on his YouTube channel. Has nothing to do with Fight Bananas. He's just a good dude. He's one of the hosts for Betting Bananas. We love us some Ryan Quinn, and he kills it. He is killing it. He has his own YouTube channel. Make sure you go and check him out at the Cornerman MMA. So a lot of shout outs there. Shout out to MMA Shark. Shout out to Matty Levine. Shout out to Ryan Quinn. Man, shout out to you for listening, guys. Dave Van Auken, episode 134 of the Dave Van Auken Show. Yeah, I'm going to let, this is it, 22 minutes, Michelle Montague. Like I said, UFC Fight Pass, Jorge Masvidal's Icon FC, October 14th, a Friday. It's going to be around the corner before you know it. It's wild how this year's flying by. Cannot wait. So here's Michelle. We talked for 20 minutes. I think it's a fun one, guys. Have a good day. Have a good week. I'll talk to you guys next week with a little preview of UFC Vegas 61. Everything will be back. Fee, Bet and Bananas, Mike Cuddles, the Banana Bee. But myself, guys, I am taking a sabbatical on the podcast side. I'll talk to you guys next week. Have a great week, guys. Later.
What's up, guys? How are you? Dave Van Auken, the Dave Van Auken Show. And coming on, someone who's been on the show before, a big fan of hers, 1-0 professional, had some really cool news in the making in the last week or two, so I'm so happy to get her back on the show. Actually saw her at American Top Team just last week. Very, very happy to introduce back on the show our dear friend, the Wild One, Michelle Montague. How are you?
I am tip-top, mate. How are you doing?
Doing good, my friend. Life's good. Life's good.
It's good, isn't it?
It is. It is. Before we get all these great questions, and I'm going to like get some fire questions. I'm going to ask them hard ones coming up. You know, PFL and Icon and UFC Fight Pass and Kayla, all that. Before all that, I want to talk to you about your social media funniness, your your comedy timing. When I met you, where was that? I was in Arlington and in Atlanta. Time. Where do you get this comedian aspect of you?
Honestly, they have that saying like the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, and dad, he's a pretty funny bloke, and he always has been. And again, it's it's the eye of the beholder. Like some people, I probably rub completely the wrong way, but. No, I just like to, there's times to be serious, there's times to be empathetic and all that. And then there seems to be quite a lot of times where like there's banter or jokes or whatever, just like ready to go. So, no, I like that. I like making people laugh. And I find that, I think that's really important, especially in a sport like so serious like ours, and there's so much on the line. If you go in day in, day out, fucking like this every time, like, dude.
Right.
You're going to fizzle out because you need some light in your life. So, I'd like being able to bring that. And you're
easy
to take the piss out of. So, like.
That's where I was going with it. It's your profession, right? It's not like, a banker or a school teacher or someone that works at Home Depot. They get up and they kind of do a norm and they kind of, it's a back and forth. Your profession is one of the hardest on this planet. It's very hard on your body. It's very hard on your mind, especially when you don't have a date. I hear that more than anything as a fighter. When you have that date, like you have something to look forward to and something to strive for. Mm-hmm. Sometimes going to American Top Team on a Monday or Tuesday, you don't have anything booked. It's like, I hear, it's like, what am I doing? It's like, I'm just a mouse on a wheel. So I would assume bringing that little bit of just smiles and laughter, even just to yourself, even to make your own damn self laugh, I think is super important.
I make myself laugh all the time. I think I'm hilarious for me. That's what I say. Like a lot of people will be like, eesh, like that's not my cup of tea.
Got you. All right. Well, let's get into it. Like I said, super fun, big words here. October 14th, live on UFC Fight Pass. Icon FC, Jorge Masvidal's Icon FC. I would love for you how to come to be, because I think of you as a PFL fighter on the Challenger Series in Orlando just this past year. Talked to you, like I said, in Atlanta, and you were maybe trying to get something in the works too with PFL, just I guess didn't come through. How did this come to be? Give us the tea. Spill the tea.
Well, what had happened was, so yeah, when I was in Atlanta, I spoke with, you know, Greg up there and at the end, and basically we thought we'd maybe try and get on the Wales or London card, but you know, that they've got people that are like, that have been planned on those cards for, you know, months and months and months. So to quickly like chuck mine in there, one of the harder weight groups to match up wasn't going to be possible. So basically I said like, what if I did one fight somewhere else? You know, he said, oh, I mentioned that Jorge had offered like to get me a fight if I needed one. So, but I at that point had mine sorted until the girl pulled out. So they brought it up with the PFL guys and they said, yeah, absolutely. Like if you want to do one with his, like they know him really well when they trust all that there. So they said, that's fine. Go and do that one with them so you can keep moving. And then it only prepares me better for whatever happens next year with the PFL. So, so that's how that happened. And then what I said to Boy, I said, yep, they said all good. So then he teed it up really fast.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that just amazing that two big brands or companies can like work together and just everyone is successful and wins?
Also, like they have the right thing in mind. Yes, of course, fighting is a money game, but like in my personal position, I needed to be, you know, improving moving forward, and like you do that in training all the time, but then to have a fight to really like, you know, put that into action is what, you know, it's ideal. So for them to both be able to not be there having like a who's dick's bigger like contest, they just were like, oh, this, the fighter needs a fight, we care about getting her there, and they made it happen. Like for me, I'm like tick tick.
love it. Also, of course, a very big thing that I saw on the fight poster, and you and I kind of talked off air a little bit about it, was it's not a lightweight fight. It's a featherweight fight.
Yes, honey.
is this kind of, do you foresee this an ongoing thing? Because right now PFL has lightweights and not featherweights, but other organizations, big organizations have featherweights, but not lightweights. What's the, can you think you can do both and go back and forth?
So interestingly, when I was talking to Greg in Atlanta and we were trying to get this like quick fight sorted over in Europe, and yep. I said, which like doesn't matter if it's at featherweight, and he's like, oh yeah, it'll be at featherweight because it's going to be, there'll be no matches anywhere at lightweight, like they have all the lightweights in the world, you know, or they don't want them. So he's like, it will be at featherweight, and I said, sweet. So he was going to get me just like an exhibition fight at that weight anyway. Obviously that didn't happen, so he knows I can make that and that's all good. I think I've had six fights out of my, like, you know, 15 have been at featherweight.
Okay.
Maybe even, like, more than that. 1, 2, 3, okay. 4, 5, 6. Oh, 7 of my, 14 fights have been at featherweight. So it's no drama making it. It's just, like, you go where the best opportunity is, and that is at 155, which is a nice little chunk of weight for me. So, no, we're good. We're going down there now, and and it'll be all good. And like I said, like, I've got the fight dietitian, like, on my side. I've got my plan literally sitting here. So, like, from the last one with the exact same drop. So, it's not a stress, and it's not a bother whether I have exhibition fights at that next year for PFL so they can get me fights, or whether they want me at lightweight. Like, I'm literally not even fazed.
Okay, that's beautiful, because back to you said the apple doesn't fall from the tree. Same here. I was always told you never want to put, you know, all your eggs in one basket. You might want to do a couple things. So you can show the PFL, hey, I can make lightweight and featherweight, like you said itself, or even not trying to, I love the PFL.
Hey, guy, I can make bantamweight. I've never done it, but I'm damn sure I could with the day before weighing.
Whoa, Michelle talking bantamweight now.
I just don't need to. Like, am I going to walk around, like, starving for, like, no more money, no more competition?
Right.
Like, there are heaps of girls at 145. There are heaps. We have a good amount of girls at 155. It's just you've got to be on the, like, I guess, in the right organization or whatever, you know?
Right. And there's a pretty decent 155-er out there. We'll talk about her later, maybe.
I think she's all right.
Yeah, she's all right. Another thing I actually love and really admire about you as well is, I think it was around 2-3 months ago, you had a back-to-back thing. You had you love to grapple and wrestle and to go tournaments. You were actually in Orlando, Florida for a submission underground or submission grappling. I love that about you too. Is that just very important for you just to keep active and stay busy and just to compete? How important is that to you?
So it's important to me in a way that, like, I'm not like lost without it, but it's like, I think it's so important in terms of growth. And I think people, especially when kids are new to the sport, like, just, you just have to compete, and whether it's jiu-jitsu or wrestling or like a padded fight or whatever it is, like, in that stage when you're like soaking all this info in, like, how to like apply it practically is so important. And then instead of going to your first actual fight and just spazzing out. So I've always done that. I've always done like a lot of competitions. I would play like a rugby game for 80 minutes in the morning, drive 2 hours up north, do the grappling gi nationals or whatever, like the same day, drive 2 hours home. Like, I'm no stranger to that. And it doesn't make me like shudder at all. Like, I'm like, oh yeah. Like, it gives me like, I'm like, yeah. So with this year, I wanted to do the, because I didn't have anything coming up, I wanted to do the Jiu-Jitsu World Champs in the gi. So I put the gi on for, you know, a week. And then I went out there and actually did really well and was happy with that.
I was going to say, how did you do in that? How did you do?
I lost my belt division by a ref just choosing, like, who they wanted to give the win to on an advantage. The girl played guard and I was on top. But, yeah, so I'm all good, whatever. She was attacking more submissions in that, but she didn't get it. So they gave it to her in the final, and I'd finished every girl before that. And then
I heard you did really well out there.
Yeah, well, then in the open, I had her for the first match, and I finished her in like a minute. So I was like, say no more. And then in the final of the open, so then I made it to the final of the open. And then in that there, it was a good scrappy, scrambly match, and this Brazilian girl, she got 2 points, I think, for it was even north, south, or near, something in there. She got her points off that, and like, I couldn't get them back, so I was like, yep. So I lost that one 2-0, and like, yeah, she worked well for that there. So yeah, I had no regrets about the whole thing, and it was like my first time doing the IBJJF tournament, and then to come out with 2 seconds, I'm like, okay, I'd rather have won, obviously, especially seeing I could have beat that girl. But like, I'm like, it was, I banked a lot from that. And then that night I went to fly out from California back to Orlando. And then my flight was canceled because, what was that for? It was canceled from like storms and whatever the fuck, I don't know, America. And so they put us in a hotel, and then I basically, like, I think I slept an hour and a half. And then got on the next flight out, cancelled the one they were going to give me, bought a new flight that left early enough to arrive in Orlando at the right time. It went to Portland, Oregon from California, and then to Orlando. So that was a good little ticky tour around, I'll tell you that. Good bang for your buck in terms of travel miles. And and then got over there, took an Uber to the venue, and I think I had about 30 or 40, maybe 45 minutes, and then I was up. And so I did a little warm up by myself up on the mat upstairs, and then like, I was like, I think I feel good. And then I had the match with the girl, and she was strong, dude. Like, she was a strong girl.
Yeah, yeah.
In a completely fair way, but just felt heavy, that heavy like body type, you know. And I remember at the start, I've been like soft mats all week at jiu-jitsu, you know what I mean? And like, she kind of like charged in, and then.
It's a cage. It's like a legit cage.
And I went to kind of, I was like, oh, okay, I'll like fish down to the neck. And then she just drops down to my knees and just goes, boom, and double leg me on the ground. And my whole back, because it was like straight wood and like the thinnest little just wooden canvas. And I remember my back going like, oh, honey, you're not warm for that. And I thought, I was like, okay. Like, I'm like, I'm still, nothing's paralyzed, okay. Moving things here, like, and then ended up, I got the armbar in the overtime, and then the next morning I got the bus back down to, like, down South Florida and got my car, so it was a journey, like, that whole, like, four-day period.
Right.
But, like, the whole thing was just, like, you know, full of growth and mental and physical and perfect amount of challenges, you know what I mean? So hopefully, when I go down to I'd like to do the Nogi Worlds later in the year and come back with a better result. I mean, that's more my jam. you know?
Yeah, just playing something super important really close so you have to make an overnight flight. That's all.
Dude, I can't explain it. The panic of the things being close together. Like, I thrive in chaos. Like, I thrive in chaos.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah, it's not good though, because I push for it, you know.
Well, maybe I think in your profession, I think that's a good quality to have, if I could say. Maybe
I guess so. Yeah, like I signed this contract 2 days ago, and it's in 4 weeks' time. So I'm like, you know what? Hey, lose whatever weight you're gonna lose.
Yeah, 6 pounds, 7 pounds, something. Yeah.
No, honey, that many kilos.
Oh, kilos.
Yeah.
What's the pounds to kilos ratio? What is that?
Well. Sometimes I get muddled up between the kilometers to miles ratio and the pounds of thing. I think it's like two. No, see, look, I'm gonna fuck that up.
I think you are. There you go. iPhone. Google it.
Yeah, because if I go like 7 kg to pounds, that's like, yeah, it's like double. 2.2. Okay. It is 2.2. Yeah, you multiply 2.2 to get pounds.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right, we'll bring up that that name, Kayla Harrison, fighting for the 155-pound championship once again for PFL in November. But more than that, like I don't want to talk to you about the details of the fight or the fight camp, anything of that nature. I just seen you through social media and even seeing you in Atlanta. It just seems that you guys have a very unique, important, great relationship. Great friends, mentor, training partner, all of that nature. How important is that you have someone like Kayla Harrison, who's so successful in what she does for a living, to kind of, you know, not mentor, but friend, or, you know, big brother kind of a thing of situation? How important is that?
Yeah, interesting. So, again, it's not one of those things that you like seek out, but when it fits, it fits. And I remember that first training when we did something real weird at the same time, and we looked at each other like, "Oh, this is gonna work." Right. And like, you know, every time since then. So it's good. You've got everything there in terms of like we can push each other physically and mentally in the training. There's, you know, clearly she's gonna be, you know, outskilling me in certain areas, and it's gonna be hard to push it to the point of, hey, you're nearly getting beat here, because, you know, that's like her fucking bread and butter, you know? So it's like a balancing act of like give, take, push, pull, like, and moments, you know, personal moments where we both like, you know, don't need to lean on each other at all, but because we're super strong alpha individuals, but like where we can turn to each other for like, you know, to vent something or if I'm having a fucking hard training and like she's with someone else, like she can turn over and be like, Michelle, da, 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 or I can do the same thing or whatever it is. We just get it. So I think I feel very lucky to, you know, to find someone like that in a brand new gym, you know, basically off straight off the bat, that is, you know, a perfect, like a great role model, a great, you know, big sister. And like another like chaotic wild one, and then in any ways that I can help, like I can see where like I can be like a helpful friend or whatever, then like it's obviously rewarding in itself to give back in any way that I physically can. In her successful state, isn't there's not many situations. But if I can cook a mean stir fry or something like that there, then we'll do it.
There we go. I heard, talking about wild, when I heard a night in Atlanta was a little wild after PFL.
Cool, dude. It was awesome. We had all the, like, team and coaches and, like, Mocco and stuff. Like, it was just beautiful. We had this cool group photo in front of, like, some Olympic rings because, obviously, it was very cool when we had, like, she'd sorted the house so that the whole team was all together. So we came back, you know, after having some beers and stuff, and then we came back and just like it was just like apparently it looked like raccoons had gone in the kitchen. Like we were just imagine like big girls and like big mockos and stuff and like the whatever like kids and shit, and like there's just food everywhere. Like
I get it. Oh, One more question, then I asked the little fans to ask questions. We got three kind of fun, good ones, so we'll take it from there. But one last thing for me. I was there last week, American Top Team, and I remember going years and years ago, and it was the gym, to me, has changed so much, and not in a better way or worse way or good way, just a more professional way. When I was there, they had kids classes. Years ago, kids classes.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just very open. They just had people watching. They had even people just kind of working out off the street, if that makes sense. Just it was more of a gym. Now it's like, hey, if it's a very high-level professional. You have to be fighting for a high-level organization. It's very tight, it seems like. But the at least for me, and I was there for 2-3 hours at the most, the gym seemed like a lot of hard work was going, but a lot of positive and smiles and laughter, but a lot of hard-ass work. How is the gym right now and the camaraderie and just the feel, the vibes of American Top Team?
Yeah, you're right, you know, and even on days where it's emptier for whatever reason, like towards the end of the week and people are like, you know, needing a bit of a rest, even on the days where it's empty, it still has that same positivity as the days where it's packed in there. And even if someone were to say, you know, have a bit of a stern message to put across at the end of training, it's still received with like very open ears and open hearts, because we're all, you know, we're all up to the same thing and everyone's there to push each other and lift one another up. You know, you can't be in there with a fucking big ego and think you're better than people, you know, on a day to day, because honey, like there's a lot of people in there that will shut you up. So it's a very positive environment, and obviously the coaches go out of their way to share their time and knowledge and pick areas that you need improvement and suggest and push you towards certain trainings with certain coaches. And for me, obviously being a foreigner there too, and there's actually a decent amount of foreigners, and I know that no one is ever like feeling awkward or left out or like an outsider. So between the hard work and the camaraderie between everybody, it's a very, very good place to be.
It's amazing. There's the fight game is so tough and winning is so tough. And we were down there doing some photo shoots with Grant and Tiago and Elle. Oh, yeah. And L is 5-0 and undefeated. And Grant for the UFC is 6-0-1. And Tiago's on a run. And then we see pictures of, you know, a lot of sometimes guy pictures or like the girl pictures. And you're like, oh, wow, Kayla hasn't lost in 4 years. And Michelle's undefeated. Like Dakota's record. It's like, man, that gym, like you guys don't know how to lose. Like,
yeah, right? Well, like L's down there. Every single person you just named, like even you named four girls, but all basically different sizes. Yeah. And then we will all like little things each person will do, like on the mat, we'll be like, oh fuck, like she's a beast. Like no matter how small they are, and they're like, dude, they bring it.
That is very true. All right, three fun fan questions. We put it out there and we'll see where it goes. Easy ones. I think they're very easy ones. First one is, what is your main goal as a fighter?
Okay. There's two. Obviously, my main goal is to win. That needs to be. But my big, like, holistic goal is to have a huge impact. In promoting MMA foremen and coaching, like, in the future. That's what I want. So, to be at a point where I have like so much skill and knowledge to then pass on, and you know, and a history to show for it as well.
Sure.
That I can like encourage and motivate and like even more so like and coach women and young girls in the sport and like have a like a real solid place for them to turn to.
Not to totally put you on the spot, because to me you're so young in the sport, you have such a bright, huge future just as the fighter type. Would you, if 20 years from now, I'd be like, hey, Michelle, you have your own gym and your own place and your own people, and you have a beautiful, you know, factory of just, you know, giving your knowledge there, or almost like a Mako type in American Top Team and a part of that huge wheel and keep on helping some of the best pros on this planet, which way would you rather lean?
I honestly would rather go the latter of the two, because it's really good. It's good for them to have their group, their place at the start, but it's also really good for them to be around men in the sport. To actually be able to be around it. Kids of all ages, sometimes you'll see two guys training and if you're newer girls and they chat a bit, like it's really good to see that example. it's good to see sometimes like the strengths they can hold. And obviously they move differently to us, so they can sometimes explain or show something differently. So I think keeping like that joined is really good. And then I thrive off learning off other coaches. So if I was coaching and I was around a different class earlier on and I could pick someone's brain, like I would always want that resource to be there. So, and I'd love to add value to something else. I don't feel like I'd have to have it be my own. What I would rather is bringing something there that like helps bring others in helps lift them.
There you go. Love it. Great answer. Easy one. What's your favorite fruit?
My favorite what?
Fruit.
Oh, I do love a good kiwi fruit. I am biased, but I do love a good kiwi.
Okay.
Yeah.
Last one.
Well, I will say my favorite is an apricot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Not a very...
Hear me out, though. Listen. So, they're not messy. You literally just, you can just That's pull true. It apart and then just put the stone away and you just eat it, boom, boom, done. It's so efficient.
Wait, you said stone, isn't it? A pit?
Okay, tomato guy. Hey, sue me, I'm Kiwi. Talking English over here.
Oh my gosh, the wild one right here. So good. Maybe this is from one of our new sponsors. They asked, do you like to bet on fights, other fights? Of course, not yourself.
I like to bet like with my brain, but I don't see value in betting with money. I'm like, win or lose, like it's a couple of bucks here and there, like, you know what I mean? But I enjoy like with buddies I'm watching, being like, who do you think is going to win and why, and like talking about that there. But like, I haven't got to the point where I'm like, want to like put money and wage on it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Maybe a round or something, or the dinner or something like that there, but
yeah. Okay. All right. There we go. Those were the fan questions. Man, Michelle, taking over UFC Fight Pass on October 14th on a Friday. Jorge Masvidal's Icon FC 5 versus Danielle Nguyen, a very game fighter. She's fought some very, very big names. She's fought in different multiple organizations, boxing. She's done bare knuckle MMA. She's done MMA. I know you probably YouTubed her maybe once or twice, but Danielle Nguyen versus
zero
Michelle.
Times so far. Zero times.
Well, there you go.
I got coaches.
Yeah, you got coaches. Awesome. Continued success to you. Huge fan of you. You know that you, not even as the fighter, as the person. And I can't wait. We'll be in Savannah. I think we're a month away, something like that. I'll be out there in Savannah.
Coming out. Good.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, I'll be out there.
You know what? Good for us.
Good for us. The first drink's on me. I'll handle the first one.
So,
awesome. Any last words, any kind of sponsors, any kind of things you want to, any jokes you have off the top of your head, anything, any nuggets you want to let go?
Any nuggets? Oh, no, this will be you on like the fighter's door, like trying to get knock, knock.
Who's there?
Let us.
Let us who?
Let us in.
All right, guys, Michelle Mataku, she fights as a featherweight. UFC Fight Pass, October 14th, Jorge Masvidal's Icon FC. Michelle, thank you so much. Appreciate your time.
Thank you. I'll see you later.
See you later, friend.